is working on the heart of those who have squandered their faith in these terrible churches, who've squandered their relationship with the Lord, and you're there to help them, then share the word with them, that they might be set free, that they might confess their sin for listening to other voices.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your message today answers the question, does God speak to us today?
You know, Dave, there's a lot of confusion today surrounding this subject, and there are those who would tell you that God is still delivering new revelation to us today. But Scripture does not support that. In fact, Scripture is very clear about the subject. So today we're going to look at this subject in the context of the person of Jesus Christ. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Through angels, through symbols, through natural events, pillar of fire, smoke, and other means. He could appear in Ur, the Chaldees, in Haran, in Canaan, in Egypt. There was no lack of variety. God spoke in a variety of ways. So now we know and understand he spoke formally to them in the past, and it was given progressively, bit by bit, in many different ways. God is saying, this is how it happened. Now remember, he's speaking to Hebrews. That's who this is written to. He's helping them see the past history of how God revealed himself and then how he reveals himself now. Yet, so see, before the incarnation, all of this Old Testament revelation was essentially incomplete. We know this progressive revelation was moving forward to a point, but more appropriately to a person, the person of Jesus Christ, moving to focus on who he was. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he rose from the dead and he was walking on that road to Emmaus, having concealed his identity from those dejected disciples who were walking away in Luke 24, he says to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. Notice it's the prophets, right? It's what they had spoken in the Old Testament. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter to his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Then Luke 24:44, and he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while still with you, the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. All this revelation pointed to Jesus Christ. All this revelation pointed to what he would do and what God had planned. And so then, God's previously spoke through his prophets bit by bit in various ways. Well, how does he speak today? You could go to a church today and they're going to tell you, hey, I got a word from God. I remember this terrible show on the TV where the guy said, I'm getting a word from God. Larry in Nebraska's knee is being healed right now. You know, he's getting a word from God. Is that really what's happening? Did Larry in Nebraska's knee get healed by God, or was it a deal? Who knows what that was, right? What I can tell you was that was not God speaking to him. Because what God says in his word is that God, after he spoke long ago, verse 1, to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. And it's really important we see the nuances of this verse carefully. We see this rightly in verse 2. In verse 2 he says, in these last days, eschatu humeron, the last days, the end days. Eschatos speaks of outermost, extreme, outermost, and here with the word days, the last days. We get our word eschatology, speaking of end times. You say, well, what is he saying here? Is he saying we're in the last days? Yes, he is. We are in the end times. You see, time was moving towards a point where Christ would come and die for our sins. It was a time pointing to the grace of God, which would appear and bring salvation to all men. And now time is moving towards judgment, and those who accept God's grace are delivered from judgment. We're in the last days. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 speaking of the blood of Christ, for he was foreknown from the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last days for the sake of you. He appeared for us. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We, since Christ came and died for our sins, his next coming is in judgment. We are in the last days. This is the day of salvation, but this is the end of days. We are in the last days. And so he says here, in these last days has, and again, it's an aorist tense, completed action. That's really important. Not is continuing to, but has spoken to us. And that would speak of these Jewish believers, the Jews who were here, to us, those who have been evangelized by the apostles. It's the church. The church is in the last days. When the church is taken by the Lord and we go into that last week of years, 7-year tribulation, it's all over at the end of that. Christ is coming in glory. We are in the last days. And so then we have that he has spoken to us, has spoken, completed action to us. That would include us as believers now through the scriptures. He has spoken to us. But again, it is a completed action. It doesn't say he is speaking to us. He has spoken to us. This is so important. It's so important. It's so important to show people this. If they're willing to hear it, if they're not willing to hear it, don't argue with them. But if God is working on the heart of those who have squandered their faith in these terrible churches, who've squandered their relationship with the Lord, and you're there to help them, then share the word with them that they might be set free, that they might confess their sin for listening to other voices. Because God's word says he has spoken to us. This is great. Before, he spoke to the fathers, to Israel, and they were to be a kingdom priest to the world. He spoke to them. Now he's speaking to us, the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ through the word of God. And certainly his word convicts the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness because they don't believe in Jesus. So notice what he says, he has spoken to us. And then notice this is so important. In his Son. All the inferior and incomplete bit by bit, place by place, Old Testament revelation was leading up and focusing to superior revelation through Jesus Christ, his Son. As we saw in Luke, Jesus, after his resurrection, revealed that the Old Testament prophets spoke to and pointed to him. It all pointed to him. Now, the writer of Hebrews here says that Jesus, the Son of God here, he'll say it later on, is the completed word of God. We'll say he's the Son. He's the Son of God. We know in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. The Lord Jesus has exegeted, exegeomai. He has explained God. So God has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God the Son. Christ is the totality of what God wants us to know about himself. Christ is. It's about Christ. About himself, his will, and us. There's no more revelation to come. We have the completed revelation once for all delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity, Jude 3, to write you appealing that you would contend earnestly for the faith which was delivered once for all to the saints. The faith is the body of truth that we believe, and it was delivered. Contend earnestly for that, because certain men have crept in unnoticed, Jude. We know in 1 Corinthians 13, the bad guys like to distort 1 Corinthians. They take that one, really, and that's the one of the ones they use the most, 12 through 14. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that the bad guys take that which is hard to understand that Paul writes. That's hard to understand. It's difficult. But they take that and they distort that. They take it out of its context and make it today when that's not the context. And they omit and then change and twist verses like I'll read for you. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. He's going to say something here that's really important. Now, in the NASB, the words are important the way they're translated here. The New King James kind of obscures it a little bit because we need to see the same words translated the same way. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. The term means to be overthrown by something superior. Okay, that's what it means, done away. Remember that. If there are tongues, they will cease. That means stop. Okay? And then he says here, if there is knowledge, it will be what? Done away. Replaced by something superior. For we know, this is back in Paul's time, before the completed revelation of the Word of God. We know in part, we prophesy. We've got partial revelation at that point. But he says, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Now that's in a neuter gender. It's not speaking of Jesus coming. It's speaking of the completed Word of God, I believe. The partial will be done away. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Ephesians chapter 2 that the foundation of the church is the apostles and prophets and Christ. That's a foundation. Hey, when you build a house, you don't build a foundation and keep building a foundation, keep building a foundation. You build a foundation, then you build upon it the house. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. See, all these passages work together in their context to expose the reality of what the writer of Hebrews is saying. That God has spoken through His Son. It's a completed revelation, but it's to us. Ephesians chapter 2, 19. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, as speaking to Ephesians who were Gentiles, now came to faith in Christ, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Amen. Having been, it's an action that's already done, by the way. It's not saying you are. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're being built up together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The truth of Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done for us, and the apostles brought that forth. We're built on that. We're built on the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 talks about, and I read it earlier, but know this first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made of an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Then chapter 2 verse 1, 2 Peter, but false prophets arose among the people, that's in the old days, just as there will be false teachers among you. There was prophecy and there were false prophets, now there is teaching, now there's false teachers, really. That's really what it is. In Paul's final words to Timothy, he writes about the Scriptures as being the thing which is adequate to equip us for not few, but every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, written word, not somebody speaking out some prophecy from their mouth, phony baloney stuff inflated from their fleshly minds. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, written word, is inspired by God. God breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It is the Scripture that equips us now for everything. We know from 2 Peter chapter 1 that we have everything we need for life and godliness. We have His precious and magnificent promises. It's through the true knowledge of Him that we have everything we need, and that is revealed in His Word. You can read 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we know in Revelation chapter 22 that you better not add anything. You better not add anything. We also know back in Proverbs, you better not add to His Word lest you be proved a liar. That's why I don't like these shows that portray Bible events and they add stuff to it. Not good. Don't add a thing. You better not add a thing. You better not portray something that supposedly happened that didn't happen. You better have exactly right of what God's Word says. Revelation 22. I testify, verse 18, to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from these words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Appropriately, the very last book in our Scriptures has this warning, don't add or subtract. Besides a brief period of revelation in the day of the Lord where God goes back to Israel, His 70th week, where there will be, as we see in Daniel and Acts 2 and Revelation, we see there'll be some revelation there apart from His written word. We know that. as God turns back to Israel for that last 7 years. Right now, we have the completed word as the church. We have that. There are no more dreams, no more visions, no more revelations. Don't go to Acts 2, but you got to see it in its context. They'll go, yes, there is. You say, no, there isn't. And you share very graciously in its context why. The revelation is complete. This is to Jews here. In the last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Back in our passage, we have the completed revelation. And folks, this puts out of business all the false prophets and hucksters who deceptively disguise themselves as servants of Christ, yet pull people's hearts away from the word. They'll talk about the word, but these people, when you talk to them, they say, yes, the word of God, yes, the word, but they have a higher value to these prophecies and that stuff in their hearts. Terrible. They focus them on the false and bogus prophecies, visions, and experiences. Do you want to hear a word from God? It is in the word of God alone concerning Christ, once for all, delivered to them. The scriptures now reveal to the full extent what God wants us to know about him, his son, and his will for us. He has spoken to us. You want to hear a word from God? It's in your Bible. It's right there. So let me ask you this. Where do you look to hear from God? Worship experience? Music? Christian novel? You know, it's nothing wrong with music that glorifies God. Nothing wrong with a book that glorifies God. But if you're looking for hearing from God, there you have a problem. The reality is, he reveals his word in his word. But we're going to have people that come along that do bad things. And Paul would talk about evil men and imposters proceeding from bad to worse. And he would tell Timothy, in light of these bad guys, Timothy, in light of this, and in light of all scripture being profitable for every good work, in light of this, I solemnly charge you something, Timothy. You better do this, Timothy, because of what's going to happen in the future. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. You better do this, Timothy, in light of what's going to happen. If you have pastors and elders that don't do this, they're not God's men. They're man's men. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Pretty serious deal. Who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing his kingdom. Solemnly charge you in light of this. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths or stories. Hey, people love the stories. They come in Sunday after Sunday for the stories. A little Bible verse here and there. Sunday after Sunday for the stories. Rather than the truth. Preach the word, Timothy. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. So then, we have the completed word. We have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We have the completed scriptures. If you want to hear a word from God, go to the word of God. We'll hear from God. Absolutely. Okay. So Jesus Christ is the final word. It is through his son Jesus, revealed in the word. We have this here. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his son. It's through Christ, through his word. Now we're going to see at this point, what child is this? Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that he's spoken through? Who is it? Notice he says, first of all, whom he appointed heir of all things. What does this mean? What does it mean to be an heir? An heir means one who inherits everything, who is the rightful inheritor, who receives those things. What does it mean? Well, we know in Colossians 1:13, by him, speaking of Christ, all things are created, both the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created for him and by him. Okay, I get that, but wait a second. How is the son appointed heir? I thought he was God the Son. Yes, he is. What does this appointed heir mean? Well, what helps us understand this is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he had it all. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, on the throne, yet for your sake became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus Christ gave up his heavenly glory. He came down, took on human flesh. This is what Christmas is about. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. But yet he was brought back to his rightful place. He is the heir of all things. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, after explaining how we should be like-minded and same-minded because of our unity in Christ, how we should be same-minded, he gives the example of Jesus Christ. He says here, Philippians 2 verse 5, have this attitude, or literally mind, have this thinking, this is the way you should think, in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. God humbled himself and took on human flesh. And he died on the cross in obedience to the Father for us. Therefore, God highly exalted him. He was exalted back to his rightful place and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, or literally the name Jesus possesses, that's really what it is, that every knee should bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The Son, before the incarnation, had rights to all things. After the incarnation, he's appointed heir of all things. What child is this? He has rights to everything. It's all his. Therefore, listen to him. It was created for him. And notice, he is the creator of the world. He says, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. Now, when I read that, I think of just the earth, okay? That's not the greatest translation. Your NASB gives you a note that says literally ages, plural. Ages. It's a different word. It's not cosmos for world. It's really Ionos, which speaks of the ages. It speaks of the reaches of time and space. It's plural. He made it all. He made it all. It's a grand word. The New King James says the world, and that says, not speaking of little worlds here and then. It's the whole nine yards. What child is this? We see, for by him, Colossians 1:16, all things were created. In the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. John 1:3, all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. God made everything through his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son. He is the creator of the world. He is creator of these ages. Therefore, we need to listen to him. We need to listen to his word. We need to hear what he has to say. And then notice, being the creator and heir of all things, we're given another great truth, that he is God. Verse 3, and he, speaking of the Son of God, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you mentioned that as believers, the Word of God is all that we need. So what do you mean by that statement?
You know, Dave, when I say that Scripture is all that we need, I mean that in Scripture, through the true knowledge of Jesus, we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need concerning a right relationship with Jesus Christ and how to walk in this life is found in Scripture through a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, you don't need other texts to provide new truth. You don't need improved interpretation. We simply need to read the Word of God, humble our hearts before the God of the Word, and allow him to speak to us through his Word. So I believe we would save ourselves a whole lot of heartache and pain if we would just focus on the truth of Scripture and allow God to do His work in us.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.